Welcome to the Other Worlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 33. I am Table for Two, aka Hunter, and I am joined by Mellified, also known as Adrian. How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderfully well. Great to be here. I'm excited to chat with you about co-op gaming.
Yeah, co-op gaming. It's one of the key things that, you know, is so important about Other Worlds GG and why you and I started this thing was we both have a passion for games preservation and gaming together, especially in terms of like family friendly kind of environments and gaming with our friends. And you know, you've got kids that you love playing games with, and you know, your wife plays games too. And competitive gaming is always going to be a thing, and it's definitely grown in nature over the last decade. I feel like it's just hugely exploded, this idea of competitive gaming. But one key important element, I think, in gaming that is just very important is co-op. And co-op, I think, and we can kind of dive down into a couple different categories with it, but I feel like in a lot of ways, co-op can be viewed in a couple of directions. Because you have several forms of it, right? I mean, I think of co-op in terms of like growing up sitting on the floor in front of a TV playing Nintendo games with a friend. Or, you know, or even Sega games for that matter. But like, you know, in the early days, I feel like co-op was like the second character to the primary character, right? Like, I think Sonic's a prime example to where, like, you had, you know, Tails there in Sonic 2. As long as, like, you could keep up with Sonic, you know, player 2 could control Tails, right? Not that it really helped anything, you know, or really made that huge of a difference. Usually it didn't, but it was nice to know that at least, you know, you could have a friend there kind of helping out or along for the ride in a lot of ways. I've known friends, too, that I grew up with where we would just take turns with a game. And in a lot of ways, that became a co-op experience because you're taking turns playing something together. You know, trying, you know, encouraging the other person when you see like, oh, there's the thing, and don't forget the blah blah blah. Secrets, yeah, over here, absolutely, to get you to like world 8.
It's like, yep.
You know, those kinds of things. There was often so many times, and I remember we talked about Red Dead Redemption in the last news show about, you know, potentially hopefully seeing maybe someday like a PC port. I remember when that game came out, I got it for a buddy of mine who had a PS3, and I got it for him on his PS3 for his birthday, and it was like a Saturday morning, and I went over there, and I gave it to him for his birthday, and I even fell asleep on the floor, but like I spent the day watching him play through Red Dead Redemption, and I had an enjoyable experience just because I'm hanging out with a friend as they're playing this game, and we're, you know, enjoying it together. We're talking about it as he's playing it. And I didn't even need to control it to have an experience engaging with that game because I was doing it with a friend.
Yeah.
And I think those are like the things about gaming that I love the most, especially when it comes to co-op, because you're enjoying that experience together. I think in a way too, you and I recently, and I say recently, it was last year, but or maybe it was early beginning of this year, we played a co-op game through together. What was the name of that one?
No, there was one before It Takes Two. It was the Prison Break game where it is mandatory.
A way out, I think.
Yeah, Way Out. Yes, I think that's right.
Yeah, and so the same developers of It Takes Two. And that was a very fun experience. I really enjoyed the heck out of that. It wasn't very action intensive, but there was a lot of like interaction where it literally required the second person in order to accomplish tasks and getting things done and working together to figure things out. And there was a narrative there that was quite interesting. That had a twist.
And it did have a twist.
And the twist was quite interesting, and I it's one of those kinds of experiences where I'm going to remember that experience because of the interaction where, you know, we're having fun joking around playing these characters, and then there's the twist in play, and it's just like, oh, you're the traitor. No, 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 you're the traitor. It's like,
right,
you know, and you know, even in our goofiness, we were kind of having fun with those characters that we were playing.
Yeah, it did a neat job of recreating something that I wanted to touch on, which is split screen co-op or split screen gaming, which is sort of this, you know, subset of co-op games where you can share one system and play together on the same screen, kind of fallen out of favor, I would think it's fair to say. But it recreated that because I could see your screen, what you were doing, even if you were in a different part of the level, because it was always split screen, even though we were playing, you know, from home online together,
right?
Which was sort of unique. I don't think there are very many other games that have done that. So,
yeah, that was a very satisfying experience. Because, like, yeah, like you said, you know, I was where I was living and you were where you were living, but yet we still had that split screen couch experience playing it together. And I think the Lego games do that, but you can't play the Lego games online. So, well, I mean, not like easily.
Natively.
You know, yeah. You have to play them. You have to play it locally or use the remote play kind of feature in order to play it online. But the Lego games have that split screen functionality that I actually like too. And I think that's something that's missing. And a lot of people have gotten really concerned about that with more modern games like first person shooters on consoles, like with Halo and stuff like that. I feel like Halo 5 didn't have split screen stuff on the console. Maybe I missed that. I know that there was something with some of the more
Halo 5 did not have split screen. It was the only Halo game that dropped it. Or the only, you know, the mainline Halo games, I guess.
Right. And so that was such an interesting change. And I think a lot of people were a little disappointed by that because, like, I know another buddy of mine who has a son who they play through all the Halos and stuff together and they can't play Halo 5 together. And so that was something that they were disappointed about because it was, you know, as his son was growing up, I think he's like, you know, 9 now. You know, it's been a staple of this kid's childhood is playing Halo with his dad. And so, you know, through 4, he was able to do that. And then after that, he can't. And so it's just an interesting thing that I think that developers should really start to take an advantage of again. And I think that's something that like Tommy Tallarico is trying to do with the ColecoVision or whatever it is that he's working on.
The Amico. Amico. Yeah.
And so there, you know, he's really trying to take back the living room with a platform designed for all age levels. And it's not going to be games that you can get anywhere else. You know, he's very specific about the fact that it is going to be its own exclusive thing, but he's not trying to compete with the others either. He's trying to, you know, compete with himself essentially. Like it's its own thing. And I've watched several interviews. As a matter of fact, I had a really good buddy of mine who did an interview with him and talked about all of these different aspects of that new platform. And I saw the new designs for it recently and I thought that was really cool. And it's something that I've honestly considered because I, you know, my wife has an issue with motion with video games. When she was younger, she could watch people play video games. But as she's gotten older, fast movement in games really messes with her eyes to the point where she can play World of Warcraft or some kind of like slow paced RPG on her computer. But if she watches me play it and I move the mouse too quickly, she's like, it gives her motion sickness. It's a real weird thing that has happened with her, and I'd love to be able to, like, we can play Mario Kart surprisingly enough, right? We can do some of those kinds of things on the TV together, but I would love to be able to have some kind of like living room couch experience for people that don't normally play games or have issues like that to be able to play with them, because I think
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's interesting that you bring that up, because actually last night I was playing, oh my gosh, what was I playing? I was playing a game I've totally spaced on what it was. Cool, but I was playing a game and was enjoying it, but like got to a point where I wasn't feeling well. And I realized what it was. I was getting motion sickness. It was, Deliver Us the Moon, or Deliver the Moon to Us, or whatever it is. That one, for some reason, something about the motion in the game, I don't know if it's the astronaut, because you're on the moon for most of it, that like the motion's weird, but it actually gave me motion sickness. I had to go watch TV for the night. I couldn't play anymore because it was making me ill. I very, very seldom had that experience in general, but never with a video game. So it was very surprising.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if it's something with my settings or the game or what. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's where like co-op is really interesting because it lets you share the experience and you can tailor that to some degree, you know, as much as the game lets you, based on who you're playing with and what they like too.
Right. And I think that's something that I've always really appreciated about, I think like in the early days of, Diablo 2, or even a little later with Borderlands, where you had the drop in, drop out co-op experience. So you didn't have to start all over. It could be wherever you're at. You can have a friend come in and help you or play with you and be like, hey, I'm having trouble on this level. Well, yeah, I've got a blah, blah, blah. Let me come help you with that mission or that quest or whatever that it is that you're on. And you can share those experiences. And I think it's fun where you can have a friend come in and help you with a game that might be a little bit challenging for you, depending on what it is. excuse me. But yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about co-op and the importance of it, because there's so much stuff that's like as a service where you're just playing with a lot of strangers, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. I mean, I've had good experiences in the online world doing those things, but I think the importance of the co-op experience with a friend is very important. Our loved one, family member, or whoever it might be. I think those things are very important, and it's the memories, like I said, of being with a friend and playing a game that they got as a gift, or playing with a friend through a story, very narratively driven story game like A Way Out with another friend, or, you know, a father and son playing through Halo together. I think these things really, and it's not necessarily so much necessarily the game itself, but the experience of the time with the person. And right. I think that human interaction and with that can, you know, because people can struggle with things in life, and sometimes video games can be a very great way of helping people with whatever it is that they're going through. And to be able to interact with somebody else that you care about or are close to or are friends with, you know, I remember the same friend I got Red Dead Redemption for, as a matter of fact. I remember one college summer where we played through the first three Halo games together, and then we played through all of the Gears of War games together on the 360 in co-op. And that was a good summer, because, I mean, it took a few weekends to go through all those things together, because, you know, we didn't just sit and play it all in like one day. I'm sure you could, but we didn't, you know, and that took us a couple of weeks to get all through that stuff together.
Yeah.
I think that was
a great example of a game that made co-op a core part of the experience.
Yeah, and I think that was the only way I was going to play through the Gears series, because I had no interest in playing it until he mentioned it. He's like, you want to try playing this? And I was like, well, I hadn't before, but, you know, since you're interested, I'll give it a try. And I ended up enjoying the experience because I was playing it with a friend. And I don't know what it was about it before that I wasn't interested in. But I think that was what drove me to play. Like, I probably would have never have played A Way Out until you mentioned it when we were looking at trying to do some co-op games together at one point. And so that experience was great, because now we started playing through and we should finish It Takes Two. Because they're a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, do your kids do co-op games together, or are they usually off on their own?
I have done co-op games with each of them. They, as they've sort of matured and, you know, played a variety of games, they've all developed very much their own taste in games. So my oldest plays a lot of games as a service, first-person shooters, Warframe, Destiny 2. Those are his, like, that's his jam, right? He loves Titanfall 2 as another, not a games as a service, but still a multiplayer kind of first-person shooter style game. That's his jam. My middle son plays Minecraft, Terraria, and Minecraft. That is just, and he has friends from all over the world that they all play together, and they go and start new worlds, and they like add different mods, and they just, you know, that's what they love to do, and they love to hang out together. But it's that same, you know, shared experience, right? Hey, let's go in Minecraft, and in this world we're going to make it even harder, or it's going to be a wacky challenge, or we want to try the new content, but let's go do that together, right?
We're, he never plays two by dragons.
right Yeah, I mean, something goofy. And so, like, for him it is all about friendship, and some of his friends will you know, want to play other games, and he'll play with them. But like, one of the ones I know for a while was Apex Legends. His friends wanted to play that, and he did, but it wasn't his favorite, right? He would do it because his friends were there, but he kind of noped out fairly quickly and went and did something on his own. Mm-hmm. But they'll play, you know, a new Minecraft world for days. He's beat Terraria, I don't even know how many times, more than a dozen, from mm-hmm. scratch to, and you know, all the way through the end game content. So my youngest, though, is a little bit of a mixed bag. He'll play stuff like Call of Duty multiplayer, but he really likes the single player campaigns. He likes kind of going through and exploring that world and really being immersed in the story. I've got him on Assassin's Creed Odyssey right now, and he has been all about Greek history as a result. Like, he's just been fascinated with, you know, that time period, and watching, you know, like 300, and kind of exploring and understanding the Greek history. And I love that the games brought that to him. But you know, he is probably somebody that I could get to do some multiplayer with me, but he is much more of the, oh, that was cool, I played for 30 minutes, now I want to go recreate that as a Lego diorama, or I'm going to make a cardboard cosplay costume of that character. So mm-hmm. like, games is like a launching off point for him. But I think I could get him to do like the Halo campaigns with me, and enjoy that, and maybe my oldest as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, so they're kind of all over the place. For me, it's, I am not good at first person shooters generally. I've enjoyed Battlefield 4 when we've been playing on the Otherworlds GG community server, because even when I'm losing, I feel like I can contribute in that game, whether it's, you know, driving the tank, or being a machine gunner on the on somebody else's tank, or throwing out ammo and health packs, or, you know, finding a good spot and dropping mortars on the enemy at a map conquest point, or sneaking off and grabbing a map point.
I think you bring up a really awesome point too about those shared experiences, because, you know, sometimes it's co-op is almost like one category, and then you have like the community, like what we're trying to build here with Otherworlds GG. And you know, we're trying to build a community of people who enjoy playing games together, and, you know, a very much a positive environment. In other words, like, that's what we're truly trying to do here. And I think that's something that, because, you know, I'm okay at shooters. I enjoy shooters. I would say I'm decent at them. I wouldn't say I'm like pro by any means of the imagination. But like you said, even when we're like not doing well or losing and stuff like that, usually I'm having a good time because something's going on that's funny, or you know, we're laughing about something silly that happened in the game, or some funny like kill shot that we've gotten on somebody or someone got on us, or, you know, just some, you know, something about it. It's always gotten to a point where it's entertaining. And
oh my gosh, Wildlands is a comedy yes. generator in yes. co-op. Like,
yes,
you, I accidentally had somebody jump off of a chopper and then like had to parachute, and then we had to try and land and get them, and then ended up landing on them instead of next to them. I've been run over by the van that we stole because, you know, we got into a firefight and somebody's backing up to pick me up and ran me over. You know, just all kinds of silly things. And like, again, that shared experience is something that we laugh about to this day. And Wildlands on its surface is this super serious, you know, military action game, and yet manages to be so silly and fun as a multiplayer game. It's a really, really a strange contrast on some level, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
About it.
And I think, and that's another one, because I definitely think that Wildlands enters into that Borderlands kind of territory where you can kind of like drop in, not necessarily drop in, but you can join one person wherever they're at. They might be further along than you or not as far along as you are on it. And yet you can still enjoy that experience and help the person. I'm reminded too, in Wildlands, there's the Predator mission that you can do where mm-hmm. the Predator is actually in there and trying time and time again to win that thing. And then realizing that I had to figure it out by doing it solo. And then I was able to take what I experienced in the solo stuff and then apply it into helping a friend get through it. And, you know, so it's definitely an interesting, you know, it's an interesting experience. So I agree with you there. You know, it's those kinds of like community experiences, and there's times in games where just different things that happen that you like look back on fondly and chuckle.
Yeah. I remember my son who plays Minecraft, like he has this fondness for the Xbox One version before they did Bedrock, where they merged all of the console games into one. He wants to go back and play that, and it's because we have a specific world that we made as a family, and for some reason that's like stuck in his head, that was such a cool, fun experience. He wants to go back and revisit that world and see the house that we built and stuff like that. And that was very early in our sort of experience gaming together, and so he's got this nostalgia for it, which I find really interesting that it had such a strong, you know, positive. Well,
that's interesting. That's such an interesting side note that you brought up, though, with that, where I've actually done that myself, where I have found old Minecraft worlds and like loaded them up, and I was like, oh man, and like it's literally like visiting an old house you used to live in or something like that, where you're going back to this place that you spent many hours at with friends and stuff like that, and all of a sudden you're seeing where, you know, you died from that creeper that time, or where, like, you know, the, mm-hmm. these weird little things that you're like, well, I wonder why I built it like this, like trying to like figure out your own like dumb things that you did, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the co-op experience with playing games like that, definitely, you know, they definitely build character, I think, in a lot of ways. And, you know, it's a different way of gaining experiences, I think, you know, especially when you're talking about a family. Like, I'm, you know, my wife and I, we definitely want to have kids, and we're just not sure the when and where yet, but it might happen without us really planning for it, I guess I should say.
Sure.
But, yeah. You know, I've often thought about, you know, what would it be like to have kids and, like, you know, raise children with gaming in the house, because, you know, like my siblings grew up a little bit different than me because they're older than I am. Mm. Right. And so my brother's 12 years older and my sister's 8, and they've got children. They both have 2 kids each. And, you know, my siblings grew up without really the technology in the home like I did. My brother had an Atari at one point, but he barely ever got a chance to play it. And then when I was probably Oh, I want to say I was like 8 or 9 years old. I got a Super Nintendo. And I got to play that thing all the time. And my brother was out of the house at the time. And I just remember him coming home one time to visit. And he was like, how is it that he gets to play all the time? And like when we were kids, we didn't. My mom's like, well, you were also raised differently because it was just the time periods in which you were, you know, things were done differently. And she's like, I'm just raising him differently than I raised you. Not necessarily any better or worse. It's just, you know, a different approach to it. And so subsequently enough, my siblings' kids have kind of grown up the way that they grew up. You know, they grew up with more, and that's not a bad way of doing it, but, you know, I remember when my niece got a Nintendo Wii, my brother's daughter, and I came and I went to, there was like a big family get together for the holidays, and my brother's like, can you like go show your niece like how to play games on this thing? I was like, whoa, why don't you go play games with your daughter? And he's like, dude, cause I don't play games. Like it's not something that he grew up doing. It's not that he's against it. It's just like, it's not part of his,
it's on his, you know, thing. Yeah.
Vocabulary, I guess, in life.
right.
And so, you know, but I remember doing that. And then I remember, when we had Christmas another year, my sister's daughter, was old enough to experience it. And so the older niece was, I was showing them Mario 64. And I think the older niece was like 8 or 9 herself. And the younger niece was probably like 4 or 5. Yeah. And it was funny watching the older niece play Mario 64 for the first time. And the younger niece was sitting there beside her, encouraging her, like, jump, jump, you can do it. There you go. Like this encouraging little voice next to her, you know, and it was really kind of that funny moment of where, like, I'm not, you know, I don't have kids yet, but I've got, you know, my own nieces and nephews, and both the kids, both the families now have Wii U, or not Wii U's, but Switches. They both have Switches, and the boys in both of the houses primarily do the gaming now. But you know, it was interesting, you know, going over and being a part of that. And one of the things my brother did within the last year is he actually made me and my wife godparents to his kids. And I was like, well, why would you choose me of all the people? And he's like, because you're the less crazy of the family. And I was like, oh, all right. And so then he was like, you know, in all honesty, though, if anything was to happen to us, at least I know my son would have a place to go where he can hang out and you'd play games with them and spend time with them. And I know you'd, because, you know, my niece is old enough. She's going to be, you know, old enough to be on her own pretty soon here. And, you know, he's still relatively young because they had the kids pretty far apart. You know, just like, you know, it's that kind of thing where, you know, he's like, you know, I at least I know you'd be able to spend time with them and be with them and take care of them. I was like, that kind of like brought up the, you know, like the tears in the eyes a little bit. And I thought to myself, I was like, you know, hopefully I'll be able to like raise kids and be able to spend time playing games with, you know, my children. And experience that, because, you know, I know what the gaming was like for me growing up, playing games with friends and the neighborhood kids. You know, like you're running down the street to go play, like, you know, Mega Man on someone's couch. You know, it's just like, you know, and at that point you're taking turns. You know, whenever you die, you throw the controller over to the next person, and it's their turn to try and see if they can't beat the level. And, you know, that's how you go through a game, is everybody's taking turns trying to get through it.
Right.
And I feel like so many of those kinds of experiences get lost because everybody's got their own controller these days. Everybody's behind their own screen. Everybody's kind of isolated in their own little box. And that couch co-op is really hard, at least from my perspective, because maybe I'm isolated from it and I don't have kids right now. I wouldn't know what the young ones are doing. So I just feel like, you know, I'm glad the technology exists like a way out. That allows you, like you and myself, and for that matter, you were on an Xbox and I think I was on a PC or vice versa or something. I feel like, or maybe we were both on our Xbox. I don't remember how it worked. I felt like there was something about it that was a little different, that allowed us to play together. So anyway, I know I've kind of gone on for a little while on that tangent, but
I mean, this is it's such a big topic, right? There's so much to sort of explore and think about. It's hard to sort of stick with one idea, I feel like.
Well, and you know, for what it's worth, I know that's what Nintendo's always been about, trying to be in the living room, and I think it's such a weird direction for them to go in by making the Switch mobile. Because I don't know of too many people that take the Switch to play it with friends mobily on the same Switch.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you're going to take your Switch to go play with your friends, usually your friends also have a Switch. Like, I guess what I'm getting at is, like, I know a bunch of people who I work with who all have Switches, and they go and play Monster Hunter together. But they're not playing Monster Hunter together on, like, one Switch. They're each holding their own little Switch playing Monster Hunter. I mean, they're in the same room, and they're doing that co-op experience that way, which is cool. But it's not like I'm taking my Switch with me, and we're going to, like, sit around the one Switch and play a game together.
Right.
So it's taken that split screen experience and put it in each individual hand, but that means each individual person has to own a Switch in order to get something out of it. And that was kind of the thing about going over to a friend's house. You either were bringing over your cartridge for all of those, you know, games used to come on cartridges. you're either or CDs in some cases, DVDs, but, you know, you're bringing over your copy of a game to play on their console or vice versa or whatever it is. But, you know, you're sharing that experience together kind of off of, you know, one, that split screen experience. And I think there's something to be said for that, which is why I think Halo for so long had that ability. And I think there's justification in being upset the fact that Halo 5 took that out, for example.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think especially because it was such a staple of the series,
right?
That you know, you're sort of betraying the I don't know what the right word is, but the basis or the of the series doing it that way. I think one of the things that gets me with co-op gaming is being able to share that experience, as we kind of started off talking about. I guess for me that is so significant, because anytime, you know, we as human beings share experiences, it brings us closer together. And to have gaming provide, in some cases, some pretty intense shared experiences, just creates a bond. And I think it has so much potential to bring people closer together that, to be frank, is missing a lot of times in our lives. You know, we have so many things that take us away from each other or push us apart. I love that we have this, you know, shared experience that brings us closer together. And whether it's with my kids, I've played through adventure games. You know, my wife kind of likes to do her own thing on gaming, but we've played through earlier on, you know, before we had kids, when we were dating and stuff, we would sit down and play adventure games together. We haven't done that in a while, but that was like where I could meet her partway in her gaming. You know, it wasn't twitchy. It wasn't action oriented. And then, you know, but now she plays Fortnite, and we've actually played the whole family together playing Fortnite, which has been a kind of a blast. And so, to me, anything that's team based kind of is co-op, and maybe that's, you know, a liberal definition or a broad definition of it. But if it's, you know, us against them, that's still a shared experience. That's still us working together as a team.
I think so. This brings up an interesting conversation. So Jim the other day was talking about how, because one of our community members was talking about the Predator, the Hunt Predator game that you can get on Epic, where one person's mm-hmm. the Predator, and then you have four people that are like trying to hunt it or whatever it is. And Jim was talking about how he tried to play that game and he was hopping online. And he's like, you know, it took forever just to get in, like, because no one's playing it, or maybe they're all isolated. And I was like, well, the thing about a game like that is, though, is you really should be playing it with a group of friends. Like, you get five people together, and it rotates out who's the Predator. And that's where, to me, that's where the fun shines, because it's kind of like you're going and playing tag with a whole bunch of your friends somewhere, right? Like, that's kind of like the whole idea of tag, is you're not necessarily trying to, like, you're not waiting in a queue with a random lobby of, like, people to play tag with. You know, like, you're going with a purpose, because you want to play it with these people specifically. And I think that there's something to be said, the same thing about being on a team together. You're playing as a team against either another group of people. And I think in terms of Blizzard games, Heroes of the Storm is a great example of this, where you can actually do comp stomps in that. But like, I usually play with a group of friends PvE. You know, we get a group of us together and we'll go, and that's one of the only MOBAs that I enjoy playing, because usually it's a whole bunch of Blizzard characters, so I can get behind that, because I like, you know, Blizzard games.
Right.
But, you know, that's a fun experience, but I normally wouldn't play that by myself, right? Even though I could. Mm-hmm. It's a game I'd rather play with a group of friends, and that's when I usually have the fun playing it, is because I'm playing it with these people.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. They're, you know, whether it's a team or a straight up co-op, you're still sharing that experience. You're still working together. And to be frank, like, I don't like playing competitive games with my family, because inevitably somebody gets their feelings hurt or gets upset because they lose.
Why'd you kill me, Dad? Yeah.
Well, there's something to be said for learning sportsmanship, and we certainly, you know, work on that, not being a sore loser, things like that, with the kids. But I, generally speaking, we like playing stuff that's cooperative, and or at least player versus environment, maybe, is another way to say that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, because the games that have done it as part of the core experience, I feel like, deliver so much more. And this gets me back to when you're talking about Gears of War. The campaign is designed for two-player co-op. You can play the entire campaign start to finish, and it's the same campaign you play single-player. So you're not missing out on anything if you play single player, but playing a multiplayer co-op is so much better, because you have a buddy there with you going through those missions. And I think that is really important. Games that have a co-op mode that is tacked on, a lot of times just aren't as interesting or aren't as fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of a good example off the top of my head, and I'm not coming up with any, but there is a website that I really like, and I'll post the link in our Discord, called Co-Optimus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it has a great database by platform, and you can go in and say, I want split screen, or I want couch co-op, or I want these features, this many players, things like that. And it'll give you a listing of all the games for your particular platform, Xbox, PC, whatever.
Well, I think that's been
a great resource.
Yeah, I think of, though, like, there's some people where they try to, like, mod in multiplayer or co-op into certain games, and it just doesn't work. I know there was someone who tried to, like, mod in co-op into, like, Half-Life 2, for example, and I'm like, that game's not even remotely designed for this. Like, this is not going to work. And it breaks a lot, because there's loading points in different areas, and there's different, like, trigger events in the game, and it can get real buggy real quick if you don't do it right. I know people were trying to mod in, like, co-op into Skyrim or Fallout 4, for example. And I just don't know if those games are really the kind of, like, I get it. Like, maybe you want to share this with somebody, but, like, This is going to lead into a bit of a controversy, I think, and for some maybe, but like this is where I have like a mixed feeling on streaming, like Twitch and stuff like that. Where to me, the whole point of streaming, in my opinion, is to share your experience, right? I think there's definitely a few places out there on Twitch and on YouTube and stuff that do that. But so much of the Twitch thing has become about a personality and entertainment, and I've got to entertain this audience, and it's just like, thanks for the 12 subs, blah, 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 here, thanks for the... And becomes less about what's going on in the game and more about, like, the hype train that you're trying to get excited about. And that's not to, that's not to, like, you know, take a dump on anybody who's a Twitch streamer. Like, that's just that it's its own ecosystem. But I feel like the whole point to me about streaming, like, for me, was first and foremost about sharing the experience that I'm going through with that.
Well, that's game. Where I think the Discord streaming that is something that we've done a lot more of.
Yes, absolutely.
For that reason.
Absolutely.
It is just about, hey, this is, look at this game. Look at where I'm at. Look at this part of the game. Look at this thing I'm talking about. Like, you can do that in a few seconds with Discord, where on Twitch, like, oh, when I start streaming, it's going to send out a tweet. It's going to, you know, put a post up on Facebook. It's going to do all these things. And I'm going to, because I'm trying to draw that audience in. And then I feel obligated to sit there for an hour or whatever and stream versus just popping in to do something really quick to show somebody something really quick. So it's a very different
that's what I was going to go back to. That's something that I've actually really championed and love about what Discord is doing, is that I can do that. I can share that on the fly, because there's literally, usually if I'm in a game, it'll detect that I'm in a game and it'll pop up a button that says, here, share this. And it's just like, it makes it so much easier. It's like, oh, thanks, Discord. Like, that's exactly what I was looking for. So,
Yeah. Well, and that's where I feel like, for me, what I look for in games that have co-op is that it's a meaningful part of the experience. Whether it's, you know, playing through the campaign together, or it's a really fleshed out mode that we can go do. Zombies in Call of Duty is an example of this, right? Mm-hmm. You can't play through the campaign co-op, but you can do a mode that has, you know, they've invested a ton of effort into the zombies mode in Call of Duty. And especially Cold War adds a whole new mode to that. So.
And I used to not like it. And then I played the new version of Zombies with you guys a few months back, and I actually was like, okay, I like this.
Yeah, that was fun, because you're running around the map. It's not, you're not just sitting in a bunker, like, building defenses. It's more dynamic. But that was, like I was going to say, you know, Gears had the co-op campaign, which was fantastic, but only two-player. But you could also do the Horde mode, which I'm not a huge fan of Horde modes, I guess maybe in general. But I was particularly disappointed with the Horde modes in some of those older games, because they just seemed so repetitive. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a lot to them. And I think the early Call of Duty Zombies probably falls into that category as well. So, you know, I think that's where game developers have got to put some effort into co-op to make it good. And then there's the whole, you know, network challenge of how do you sort of deal with different network situations and ping times and things and still be able to play the game, where some games are local co-op only because they don't want to do that, put in that effort. But you have tools like Steam. What is the feature called on Steam? I always forget the name. Remote play?
Oh, yeah, Play Together.
Yeah, the Let's Play Together mode. PlayStation, one of the few features that I really wish Microsoft would bring to the Xbox, PlayStation has it, where you can stream to your friend and they can play as player two. So it's built into the PlayStation 4, at least. I haven't tried it on the 5. I should look and see if it's still there. But I wish, like, Microsoft would do that on the Xbox, because it'd be great to be able to play a game that's air quotes local co-op only, online together. So, you know, but I think the developers have to put a little bit of effort in order for co-op to be really engaging and meaningful and not just sort of this afterthought so they can check a box,
right?
You know, on the product listing on Steam or whatever.
For sure. No, I completely hear you. And I love the fact that, you know, and Nvidia's got the technology. Steam's definitely got the technology. I love the fact that Steam and Valve have gone so far in on this, like, let's play together. Their remote play, their let's play, like, it's all, they've really improved how and where you can play the games. And I'm really excited for the Stream Deck, the Steam Deck, for the same thing, and for the potential opportunities that that's going to provide. You know, we've talked about Parsec a little bit in the past. I know there's some things, there's some features in that we'd love to see happen, but with Unity's acquisition of it, we're not sure where that's going just yet. But the tools and these things that have been put out there and developed for are really awesome. And I know we've talked about the Let's Play Together. We need to try that sometime, because there's quite a few games. I mean, like, think of any and all of the Lego games that are out there that you could play together that are co-op. I mean, that alone hours and hours of content of just enjoying playing games together. There's a handful of other games too that are co-op, like, you know, Broforce, that I don't think you need to even do the Let's Play Together stuff with. But for any of them that are out there, I mean, you can definitely set that up and play these games. So that's really exciting. And it's gotten me really hopeful for the continual. It's kind of like, you know, all these features that Steam's been doing, all the features that Microsoft's been doing. If Microsoft was to implement something like this into their thing, I think, like, there's just, you literally almost have no excuse anymore at that point. That's kind of like the one, like, little exception we can give them. But, like, after that, if they implement something like that in the future, there's almost nothing left, you know, to really, you know, to say, like, why are you not at least trying this ecosystem? You know, there's just so many, it's already dense in features. And so I think with the future, with the Steam Deck, I'm actually kind of curious if there's any, like, Halo games or Microsoft games on Steam that support any kind of, like, remote play together.
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know.
I'd be really kind of curious if there are any, but
yeah, it'd be worth taking a look, I guess. But ultimately, I want games to have flexibility. Like, I was thinking about, we played Stellaris for, gosh, 20 hours or something over a weekend one time. But yeah, we played it as a co-op game. You know, we each had our own empire, but we were all allied. And we played essentially a comp stomp, which is, you know, something I've always enjoyed doing in RTSs, is get together with a few friends, build up your army, and go smash the crap out of the AI, you know, or try to, depending on the game. And so those are co-op experiences that aren't, air quotes, co-op games, right? Like, you're making a co-op experience out of the game. So that's another kind of whole aspect of it, is you can kind of make your own challenge. There was a card game kind of like Hearthstone, Fable Fortune. It had the Fable IP. And it had a co-op mode that was really interesting, where you and a friend could play against, like, a challenge deck, basically, where you had to beat some hard game mechanic. Unfortunately, the game wasn't making enough money and they shut it down, which makes me very sad. But that was a neat, you're just kind of off the wall co-op. Like, I wouldn't think to play a card game co-op like that, but it was really fun. And if you've ever played the actual, like, tabletop version of Sentinels of the Multiverse, that is a really cool co-op game experience. Unfortunately, the PC version that's on Steam, I think you can't play multiplayer. I think it's a single-player only game. on PC, which is sort of a shame. You play all the people essentially rather than doing it co-op. I'm just gonna look up real quick if it actually has co-op. Maybe they've added it, but I don't think so.
Yeah. I also
it does have online co-op. Well, that would be a good one. Okay, so I'm wrong. It does have online co-op. So that would be a fun one. That's a neat game. If you like card games, at least, I guess. But at any rate, I was just trying to think of some unconventional co-op games that I've played that might be of interest to folks. So,
well, I'm looking too at some of the stuff like The Ascent. You know, we started playing a little bit of that the other day, which is great when you can get the co-op to work. According to Steam, Halo: The Master Chief Collection has local co-op, but I'm not sure how that's supposed to work.
It's split screen because that's
can you do it on your PC?
Yeah, I mean, it just renders it twice. Really? I don't know. Now you have to have two controllers, but yeah, you can do it. I just pulled up my Steam library and I clicked on the cooperative flag just to kind of see. Borderlands is one that I think was fun, a lot of fun co-op, but just so repetitive. Unless you're really, really into the story, you're kind of doing the same thing over and over.
Crazy, crazy. Yeah. Well, co-op's pretty important.
Yeah, well, and Divinity Original Sin 2 is a interesting example because it's like a party tactical RPG, right? So you go into a turn-based mode and you have a map and you have to move your characters a couple spaces at a time and shoot arrows or cast spells or, you know, hit people with swords. But you can play it co-op where the other player controls one or more of the characters in the party and then you control the other ones. And so you take turns, you know, going back and forth as you play through the combat. And so if you're really into the game, a big part of it is casting like a spell that puts water on the ground, like a puddle underneath the other character. And then if you cast ice on that character, they take extra damage because now they're frozen in ice and they can't move. Right. So they've the game mechanics are set up in a kind of, you know, makes it kind of interesting to play multiplayer, but it makes it harder because if you're doing it all yourself, you have it all in your head. Okay, I need to do this spell. Then with this guy, I'm going to come over and do that spell. But if you're playing co-op, obviously you have to have a little more coordination and communication. So one of my favorite co-op games or series of games is the Earth Defense Force ones.
Yes.
For co-op.
100%, yes.
They're just so silly and goofy. Like, the frustrating part is you have to play quite a bit to get to the good weapons. You know, and get you know, feel like you're not tissue paper for armor and stuff.
Right.
So it takes some commitment to build up to.
I think one that Jim and I have played together in the past, and one I think that you and maybe some of your kids might be interested in, is a little game called Space Beast Terror Fright.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So think of it like you're a space marine. And you are going in to blow the reactor on the station that has been infested by xenomorphs. And each map is dynamic. They have a huge list of dynamic maps. They're all different. And throughout the maps, there's power-ups. So you can get, like, advanced sensors. You can, like, unlock the map. You can... there's weapon terminals, and there's these nodes that you have to unlock around the map, which then unlock the core. And then there's four nodes around the core that you have to rig to blow. And then you have a certain time frame in which you have to run and get back on the escape pod and leave. And if you survive, you get to keep your abilities to the next level. Right. And so you kind of like rank up and so on and so forth. So it kind of gives you that roguelike experience a little bit. But yet you can do it in a four-person co-op. Space Beast Terror Fright, excellent, excellent game. I love it, especially when you play it with a group of friends. And that's also kind of the same thing with games like Deep Rock Galactic, which is such a fun co-op experience. You know, these games are designed as, you know, PvE co-op games. That's what their core purpose are. There's definitely a few more out there that are just like that. They're just so built around that experience that I absolutely love.
Yeah, Payday 2 is another one that came to mind as kind of a sort of unique co-op experience, because you're the criminals trying to, you know, pull off the big heist, and you all have different things.
I used to love playing the crap out of that game, and I have not played it in a long time, and that's a fun one. Yeah. A lot of DLC, though.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's the only thing keeping that company in business now is the DLC from Payday, I think. But yeah, I mean, there, you know, I'm just kind of like trying to think of some different ones that have co-op, but in a unique way or an interesting way.
Do you remember Rocket Army League? Of Two?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was an interesting one where, you know, you literally depended on the other person to help you, like, climb up walls and stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you had the back-to-back mode where you were kind of, like,
I forgot about
waves
that.
Of enemies. That was cool,
Back-to-back.
Saints Row, that whole series has co-op throughout. And some of the side missions and stuff even have co-op. And I remember one of them so vividly, where you get hired by a property developer to lower property values in certain neighborhoods so he can buy them up to you know, redevelop them. And so you go in, you steal a sewage truck, and you start spraying sewage all over the neighborhood. And you get points based on, you know, the more property damage you do with it. And so in co-op, it was actually even more crazy fun, because one person was driving and one person was doing the cannon, versus when you were playing single, you had to do both and kind of switch back and forth. And so it was really interesting way to change it up. But that one was a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, there's so many good examples of this. There's, you know, you can play games like Worms or any of the sort of tank style games where it's like you and a friend versus the AI, kind of a comp stomp style thing. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fun in Worms, just because you have such crazy weapons to play around with. Have you done Star Trek Online co-op at all?
Star Trek Online? What do you mean?
Well, like, you can play with a friend, right? So can you do missions together?
Oh, absolutely. And those Yeah, no. There's a lot you can do in Star Trek Online with people together. As a matter of fact, I think the PvP community in that game has died. I think the PvP community is strictly organized by the bigger communities that are in there together. Like, they'll do specific like PvP events. But that game is so geared around the PvE elements. So, like, I will queue up for PvE events with a group of friends, and they're a lot of fun to do. Like, if you get five of us in there together, we can go and privately queue up and do our own PvE events just, like, with the five friends together and do stuff.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can do it with random people. You can do it with random people, and you'll still have a good time. But, like, you can also queue up with friends, and you'll be able to roll through them faster because you've already got a group of five doing it.
Right.
And so those I do enjoy the PvE experience with friends in that game. And that's a game that I play passively when I'm not doing it with friends. Like, I'll load up and do my duty officer mission things, but you can do patrols. They have patrols in there now where you can actually go and do these, like, little one-off missions, and you'll get, like, a bunch of little rewards for it.
Oh, neat.
You know, and so that's something that, you know, if you wanted to, we could load it up sometime and you know, I can show you around some of that stuff together. But that's a lot of fun to do. And I don't like, you know, and Star Trek Online is such a weird bag to begin with, like, side tangent. It's kind of like they're not developing any new Star Trek games, but any new Star Trek thing that comes out, they just throw that content into Star Trek Online. So it's like a catch-all for everything Star Trek. So they have everything in there from, like, the original series stuff all the way up to, like, Picard, like, ships and stuff like that. So it's kind of like they have both versions of Klingon. They have all the versions of Klingons in there, so it's a little, like, weird. the thing is, though, is, like, in TNG and even in Enterprise later, they kind of filled the gap in between TOS and TNG-era Klingons, and they kind of, like, explained why they looked different. There's no explanation for why Discovery Klingons look different than anything else. Like, it's just this weird mixed bag, but that's a story for another time. But anyway, Star Trek Online definitely has, I would say, if anything, it's purely co-op. It's purely PvE at this point. As an MMO goes, which is kind of interesting.
I have just done, you know, single player stuff in it so far, so I haven't gotten to the multiplayer piece. EVE Online certainly can be co-op, but I was thinking of Elite Dangerous having co-op where you can be like different stations on the same ship. That was kind of an interesting one.
That was like a tacked on thing that they gave later and only on certain ships that support it. And it's very, Jim and I have done a lot of it, and to me, it's not a good experience. Elite Dangerous, I'm not gonna go.
I don't want to like start a whole thing about Elite Dangerous because I know it's a source of frustration.
But like Torchlight 2, you know, is definitely a good co-op experience. We've talked about
any of the Diablos games, there was one more that I had thought of. Oh, Guacamelee. Both of those games are a lot of fun co-op, although it's super chaotic if you get four people in there, which it supports. I think it even supports eight. But if there's so many people on the screen at once and you're trying to do platforming, it's just too much. But that one's good, like 2-3 people maybe.
Hypercharge Unbox.
Hypercharge Unbox, yes. That's sort of a horde mode, I guess, but it's so much more than just like what I think of as a horde mode, because it does so much more with it, where you're between rounds, you're doing the setup and building up your defenses, but you have multiple places to defend and so many different enemy types to deal with.
Variety of maps.
Really good job with that. Yeah. That's like a horde mode on steroids, I guess.
Well, this has been a good topic, and co-op has certainly been a very important staple, I think, in gaming. And I think something that we can really encourage developers, if we can, is we'd like to see more of that. You know, especially if you can figure out ways of encouraging the couch style co-op stuff, which is why I'm really curious about, again, Tommy Tallarico's product. Like, I really want to check out his new console when he finally gets that out the door and see what that's all about. I'm all in favor for that kind of, you know, environment of, you know, encouraging people playing together of all age types, you know, and so that's really good. And, you know, these co-op experiences, you know, you'll be able to take with you for a lifetime. And so I'm hugely in favor. We're in favor of it here at Otherworlds GG. So, We got some game servers of our own that you can go and co-op on. We've got a Minecraft server. We've got a Conan Exiles server currently. We do have a Battlefield 4 server, so we can all team up together against other players if we want. We can play together. And we have an Unreal Tournament 2004 server at the moment as well, so that's a lot of fun we've got going on with that. So you can get all that information over on our Discord at discord.otherworlds.gg. And we're still doing our giveaway over here, 100 for 100. So tell all your friends to come on over, and we'll do some Amazon gift card giveaways. So be on the lookout for that. It's been fun. Yeah. We'll see you guys in the next episode. And this has been episode number 33. See you later.